Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com or even email Jenny your audio clip from your mobile device that you recorded on as you're walking through a park telling a ghost story. And the people are staring at you like, what is that person talking about?
We've had listeners do that.
Are they okay? Should we should we sit them down and give them a glass of milk? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever it may be, I will give us some tips, though, if you're going to record it that way, because that can pick up a lot more noise than just a phone. Try and go somewhere quiet.
Yeah.
That's just the advice there. Otherwise, it can be difficult to hear your story. You don't want to have to tell a great story and then we're like, yeah, we can't really play that back there because it's really, really noisy and it's hard to hear you. And that was a great story. You don't have to retell it again.
There was a listener who did that, and I think they kept getting honked at because they were driving trying to do it. So not the best idea.
Yeah. So just try and find a nice, quiet place. You can focus on your story and share it that way. We love hearing them that way as well. It's nice, crystal clear audio.
Mm-hmm.
It's like hearing Whitney Houston sing the Star Spangled Banner all over again.
Okay.
I only use that reference because I remember there used to be a telephone company commercial back in, like 89 mm-hmm. or so that used her in it. And it was her singing something. And it was like, now hear the how clear our calls are, more clear than ever before, which I think was a line of crap because I don't think telephone quality has ever really improved over the course of history all that much. It's improved now when you have digital and people are calling you from Skype. You can hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But up until like 2 years ago, there really wasn't a lot of a difference. So, anyhow, let's go to our first story of the day that's sent in to us at 855-853-4802 and listen to some ghost stories. Hi, you're on the show.
Yes, hello there. My name is Susan. I live in Arizona. I've called before, but I'm calling now because I did go on an actual ghost hunt last night with a group of ghost hunters. I'm a very sensitive, empath, psychic person, and I didn't see anything right away. But they told the story of a woman that actually who died there. And for some reason, she clung to me, and I felt her anger, and I felt her so to the point where she was telling me her story, saying to me that she was sexually assaulted by the boss of that plant and that he murdered her. And he made it look like it was an accident. And I could feel her anger and her rage to such a degree that I literally had to leave the plant, go outside the plant to get air, because she was very angry at this person who took her life. And she hates men. And I believe she hates men not only because of what the boss did, but also because this is a plant where they hired illegal immigrants. And of course, these illegal immigrants, of course, would be scared to lose their job, would be scared to report anything because they would not want to be deported. So they kept their mouths shut. So I think she's angry. I got the sense that she's angry at them because they did nothing, even after her death, to avenge her rape and murder. And it really left me really upset, shaken. I couldn't drive home. My husband had to drive home. It was awful. They can't, according to them, they can't find a lot of the paperwork to this place, you know, of all the murderers, the deaths, whatever. They're having a hard time finding this paperwork. And their excuse, they said that the people that owned this plant at one time gave this paperwork to some student at ASU, and this ASU student never brought it back to them, which I know without a doubt is BS. And I know they're going to have a horrible, hard, if impossible time finding the truth behind this. But I felt her. In fact, on the way home, we made a quick stop at a grocery store by a candy bar, and the car went off. The lights went off, the horns went off, everything. My car has never done this before, and yet I just opened my car door and the alarm went off, the lights went off, everything. When we finally got it to stop, we drove home. And no sooner did we get home, I just opened up the door again, get out of the car to open up the garage door, and the car went off again, and the alarms went off, and it was like something followed us home, even though I had them put sage around me and my husband. It felt like something still came with us. So I'm really trying to figure out what's going on, but something's going on.
I think that, like I've said before, I think fear is probably the emotion that lingers the longest. And there was probably a lot of fear, and probably anger is a close second on that.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a lot of fear and anger still within that plant from that person.
I wouldn't want to be her.
No.
The person, well, anyone really in that story. But I wouldn't want to have to be the... have her abilities is what I should say.
Okay.
I wouldn't want her abilities.
Sure.
Because she sounds very, very distraught, very shaken up by this, which one would be if they're feeling all of these things. I guess, you know, a lot of times there's moments where you go, I wish I was a little more sensitive to this or that. And there's moments where you're like, oh, I'm glad I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Because I imagine that far even beyond this experience she had, she probably is empathic to a level of constantly feeling others' emotions.
Right.
And it's sometimes hard enough to deal with your own, more or less, having all of these other ones thrown on top of it.
Did she say if this was her first investigation that she's ever been on?
I don't believe she said it was or not. I don't know. But even outside of investigations,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm just imagining there's a lot of that comes in.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing your story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hey guys, I'm Valeria, and this is my story. It's my mom's story as well, but you'll see why. It happened many years ago when I was 5 or 6, I think. 20 years old currently, so yeah. It was a Sunday, and it was a cozy day inside for family. We just stayed inside, and when it was time to sleep, we just all went to bed. My room wasn't very far from my parents' room, and that night, my mother, she had a nightmare, and in her nightmare, she went to my room and found me struggling, like real bad, to breathe. And I was like pale as fuck, basically. So she got so scared and like anxious, like in her dream, in her nightmare, that she just woke up in anxiety. But, you know, she thought that was it. Like, yeah, it was a nightmare. And she just tried to relax and go back to sleep. But while she was doing that, she heard like weird noises coming from my room. And like when she went there, she found me struggling, like in her nightmare, struggling to breathe. What happened is that at the time I was like sick with this very heavy cough after a cold I had. But like during those days, the cold season started. So, you know, like with cold and like low temperatures, those kinds of like diseases can like get worse, especially during the night. And that's what happened to me. So, you know, like my lungs and my throat were filled with stuff. I won't go into details with that. But yeah, I was sick, right? And I was a kid. And I've always had like very heavy sleep, so I wasn't doing like much to save myself from that situation. So yeah, my mother just found me there, like making these weird and not so normally frequent noises, breathing noises, and I was just getting very, very pale, she says, and I was just like still sleeping apparently. So she, you know, she got scared, and of course she just woke me up and put me in a better position so I could improve my breathing, and yeah, I survived because of it. I know it was just, you know, because of a cough, but I don't know. I mean, it's very confusing. It was just as in her nightmare, and that's the thing. I like to think of me as a very like rational person, like science and arguments and you know, proofs and blah blah blah, but I don't really know what to make out of this situation. And yeah, I guess it's the kind of thing that you can use as a proof, I guess you can call it, to like, yeah, moms have like another sense, and they can perceive stuff and have feelings when something's gonna happen, especially with their loved ones, that kind of thing. But maybe it's not just moms, maybe it's just sensitive humans, or more sensitive humans, and yeah, that we can have the ability to, I don't know, I guess, yeah, perceive stuff before a storm, or yeah, some kind of particular event, I don't know. But yeah, that was my story. You guys, let me know what you think about it. And that's that. Thank you so much.
I always think moms do have that extra sense or connection, especially when their kids are little, like living at home.
Mm-hmm.
They just know. They just know when they need to check on them, you know? And you get that weird feeling sometimes that you just, it's like you can't go back to sleep or can't rest until you check on them and make sure they're okay. But this case, it was actually a nightmare that woke the mom up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a little bit different.
Yeah, I agree. I think there is that sense there. And I think as they get older and they become adults, then mom's ability goes from that to, when can I call at the most inconvenient time?
No.
That's how it works. And it's funny because it's not that I think it's ever intentional. It's just it's funny because my mom, and I have no problem talking to her, and I love my mom. It's just funny because she'll call sometimes when it's like about as inconvenient time in it during the week that it could possibly be. And she has no idea. It's not like she knows my schedule because it changes every single day.
Uh-huh.
It just, there's sometimes where it's like, I'm trying to work on something with work. There's something with the kids I'm trying to manage at the same time, and there's something else going on. And then, hi, how are you? It's like, not a good time. I don't know why that is.
You're getting coal for Christmas. I can just.
It's just how
that.
It works. And again, that's why I say it's not that she's timing this out of, well, I'm going to call him right now because I know he's busy. It's just, and maybe that's something to do with it.
Maybe she knows you're kind of under some kind of mm-hmm. distress.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Is maybe it's something like that where it's. It is, because it seems to be like a lot of times where there's like a lot of stress going on. There's, and it's not like uber stress, but it's just a lot going on and I'm being pulled in 10 different directions. And then this is another thing that pops up at that moment. And maybe that's part of that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Could be.
I could see that being kind of playing back to what we're talking about with childhood and a mother's just knowing, not really knowing exactly what, but there's something and that's when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just like that signal going off of, I'm stressed out right now, and some, that makes her pick up the phone. I don't know. I mean, okay. It's an interesting thought.
It is.
Yeah, it could be. Anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller and hear another real ghost story. Hi, you're on the show.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Joseph in Phoenix. And I've got a story for you guys. And pretty much ghosts at work. You know, I used to live in a small town called Seligman, Arizona. It's up in northern Arizona. And I had a opportunity to work where my dad and my godfather worked. It's a lime plant. They mine limestone, and I had an opportunity working there for the summer. And as we, as we work and everything, and we hear a lot of, people are telling different stories about the plant and how it was built under or built, rebuilt, moved. And. And, we didn't think nothing of it. And, we had a big old wind that kicked up and blew a lot of trash around. And the next day, part of our job was to, pick up the trash that was, side of the road and everything. And me and my friend Tyler and one of my friends, Stephanie, one of the co-workers, we were picking up the trash and went by the old quarry where they had a bunch of piled up rocks and chat It wasn't windy or nothing, and we were picking up trash, and we started hearing voices, and we were asking, I was asking, did you guys hear that? And he goes, oh, maybe it's just the wind. I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. It's, not really wind, and all of a sudden, it had this little, breeze, slight breeze come up. I'm like, oh, maybe. Sometimes you hear the wind coming off the, the piles or what have you, and we were walking along and we started hearing again like voices, like, did you get that, or move that over here, or different voices, hello, and I'm like, you got to hear, Stephanie was like, well, you got to hear that. And I'm like, well, I did. And Tara's like, yeah, I did too. Didn't it sound like, move that over here? And like, yeah, I thought I heard someone say, you know, got that. And we started hearing and like, well, that's kind of weird. And we didn't think nothing of it. And we didn't tell no one. Then after work and everything, we went in the truck with me and my godfather and my dad, and we were going home, and he was asking me what we did and everything. I said, well, we're just picking up trash and nothing much, and, you know, and, you know, shoveling out the old, you know, lime out of the, one of the silos, and I asked him, said, is there any way that the plant could be haunted, you know? And they looked at each other and started laughing. I was, why? I was like, well, we went to, with a bunch of old pile of chat is, and we start hearing voices and saying, you know, move that over here, or, you know, got that. And so they looked at each other and was like, well, yeah, that spot's haunted all the time. And Jake's like, Jake, my godfather, is like, yeah, so there's been a lot of voices over there. In fact, there used to be an old silo when they moved the plant over. They used to have one of the silos over there, and one guy ended up was doing some maintenance up there, and he fell to his death. And they said his spirit's supposed to be over there, and a couple others. And said, and plus, didn't you even see the little cemetery we have over here, or by the plant? And when we walked in, like, guys have a cemetery? I said, yeah, you didn't notice? I'm like, no. I said, well, that's kind of haunted too, because all the bodies, they didn't know what to do with, and they didn't have any family, so they started, you know, burying them there. And. Like, really? I haven't seen it. So I'll show you where, you know where it's at when we go to work tomorrow. And we went to work, we worked that day and came back. And they showed me where the old cemetery was, and they had some gravestones and, you know, some of the guys' names. And. I'm like, wow, this is weird. And he goes, yeah, it gets kind of creepy sometimes. You definitely hear some voices. And they, you know, thought nothing of it. And I had an opportunity to go back to the cemetery, and my mom's a genealogy buff, doing genealogy for the town and a couple of names for the couple of the families. We were looking at the headstones, and my mom and I would start hearing some voices, and I start hearing this, hi. I'm like, hello? My mom's like, what? Hi to you. I'm like, no, I saw someone said hi. I says, oh, okay. And then my mom heard a voice saying, get out. And I'm like, did you tell us to get out? Did you tell me to get out? And I'm like, no, I didn't say anything. And it is kind of creepy. And my mom started getting a little creeped, I was getting kind of creepy too, and we weren't able to. We swear hurried up, couldn't find hardly any names, And it was pretty interesting, and this place I work down here in Phoenix, I work at a steel mill, and the lot right next door to us used to be a swap meet, and it ended up being closed down for a lot of years because there was a mass shooting. There was a big old crowd, and some guy came out with a gun, and three officers were killed, five regular people were killed, and they closed down. Well, some of it's like a used car lot now. And I end up downloading, as funny thing is, I'm trying to pursue it a little bit further, is I end up downloading an EMF recorder on my phone. And as, I was playing around with it and everything, and mostly when you turn it on, it'll just be in the green between, I say, 45 to 55, in the green. And there's a couple of spots where I went, and it went all the way to the red, and hundreds or more, then it'll stay there for a little bit, and you'd gradually go down. And this happened a couple more times, and my friend was, I turned it on, and I was, I was sort of hanging out the window, trying to see as we walked, drove by, and so what are you doing? I said, well, I'm trying to check something out, see if there's any, spirits around. And I said, well, slow down a little bit. He said, no, I don't want to do that because I'm sensitive. I don't want to give myself nightmares. But I noticed that even that EMF recorder has been fluctuating. I know there's something there somewhere, but I haven't had a chance to take a look at it, but I'm going to try to see if I can one of these times, and I thought maybe you like this story, and I appreciate all you do, and I love the EPPs, and I'm downloading them and listening them at night, especially in bed, and it's and at work as well, and can't wait for some more, and thank you for all you do, and you guys have a wonderful day, and take care. Bye.
It sounds like the first ghost kind of followed him home because they tried to research it.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. It's like, I wonder if it's just, it realizes that he's feeling or hearing and detecting this. I almost wonder if he took his EMF meter there, what it would do.
How do you think ghosts do research?
No, I don't mean the ghost doing.
Oh, you mean the guy.
His mom was helping him.
I see what you're saying. I thought you meant the ghost was researching him and then following him.
Joseph and his mom.
Okay.
It's like the ghost followed him because they kind of started looking into it after the first experience.
Because the ghost then realized that there was an interest level there.
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering. That's an interesting way of thinking about it, because it seems like ghosts don't have to do any research most of the time. Although I wonder.
Yeah.
I mean, of the ability ghosts have of understanding the subject that's interested in them, how often is it that they just, I know everything about this person, or is it like, I have to hang around this person for a while and get to know them and check out their Facebook page?
There's no way for us to know that.
And do ghosts have the access to the Facebook page?
Can they want to stay current?
Can they view everything without being able to log in?
I don't know.
Be an interesting thing to find out someday. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hey, guys. This is Connor from Northern California. I have a lot of stories, but I think one is more interesting than the others. It involves a band that I was playing in. We toured the Midwest and ended up going to Virginia to visit this actually pretty famous A&R person from the 90s. And he invited the band to stay in his Virginia estate, which was out in the middle of the woods and a lot of property. It took a long time driving through the forest to even get to where he lived. And it was a really old 1700s war motel from what he was telling us. And immediately everybody in the band started complaining that the energy was off and things didn't feel right. And the house was really, really, it was long. It was a tall house, but not very big, if that makes sense. The rooms kind of got smaller as you went up. And stuff started happening, like we'd be sitting talking about the weird energy, and then a light would click off and right back on, and everyone would freak out. But it wasn't until that first night that we all had to stay up in the very highest room. It was just a staircase to one room, almost like a loft. And now the house looked like it'd been renovated. It was basically like he just moved in with a bunch of music memorabilia, and on top of all the old 1700s stuff, there was paintings of old generals and stuff like that. But anyway, we're in this room, extremely hot, uncomfortable. We can't get to bed. There's insects swarming around the windows, and I know that that's never a good sign. But so the four male members of the band are up in this room, and our lead singer, who's a female, is on the floor below us in a little girl's bedroom, and the whole room is pink with all these weird stuffed animals, one being a really tall, about 4 foot old dog stuffed animal. And we're all up there for a few hours, and it's a really small room. We're all moving about it, and out of nowhere, our guitar player Barefoot steps in some feces. Like I don't know if it was a dog, the owner didn't have a dog or anything. There's just some feces up there, and we all start flipping out about it. And like 5 minutes later, we hear a scream coming from the floor below us, so we all run down there, and it's our singer, and she points to the dog stuffed animal, and there's a toad sitting perfectly on its head, and it didn't even look real until I saw its neck move. So we take it and sprint it outside and left it on the front porch for the entire night. And everyone swore that no one brought a toad into a room. No one even left that room. So definitely none of us could have done it. She's not the type of girl to mess around with that stuff. And we even asked the A&R guy letting us stay there if he thought the house was haunted. And he goes, oh yeah. One time a horse and carriage came through the living room wall, which I don't know if I believe, but seeing as all the stuff that was going on, I couldn't say I would dispel it, but yeah, it was just a really freaky place. We stayed there for 5 days and stuff kept happening. He had an abandoned barn about 200 yards away from the property or where the house was, where he didn't have any animals or wasn't farming anything. It was just sitting there. And, you know, hay bales and all that stuff. So it's definitely a creepy aesthetic and vibe throughout the whole thing. So, yeah, that's my story. I hope to hear it on the podcast. Love listening to you guys at work. Have an awesome day.
I love settings like that.
Yeah, the really, really old historic locations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's no dog.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, was it fresh or was it not fresh? Like, if it was dog do, you know, you can tell if it's been there a while.
How do you like to examine that to make sure?
I don't want to step in it, but, you know, I mean, it gets harder as time goes on. Like,
put a finger down and then...
No, I don't do that.
Lick it?
No.
See what...
You get a plastic bag and you put it over your hand and you pick it up with the plastic bag over your hand, and then you enclose it like that. That's how you get rid of it.
And then you crunch it up to see how...
No, you can just tell when you touch it with the plastic bag. if it's hard or soft.
But if you break it up, then you can kind of tell more on the inside if it's...
I don't go that far.
This has been semi-fresh.
I don't go that far. It's just I'm curious if it was maybe a previous owner's dog that did it, or if it's not, then there's real big questions.
Ziploc bag with a yellow and blue mate green seal?
I just use like a Target bag. Something like that.
Gallon size?
No.
Sandwich size? Snack size?
Like a shopping bag.
I know.
Okay. I'm not going into any more detail on that.
Because if you use the Ziploc, it seals in the freshness.
That's great.
That's all.
Okay.
So you can use Tupperware, too, that you could burp out the
I bet the I'm not the only one who's wondered that.
Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hi, Brewskies. My name's Jody. I live in Newburg, Oregon, and I just wanted to share a short and sweet story with you about my grandmother. I got married around this time last year. Well, it was actually October. And when my grandmother passed away, which was about 3 years ago, she left me a couple necklaces of hers that she used to wear these big chunky turquoise necklaces all the time. It was just her thing. And so it was really cool that she left those to me because it was a big part of her. And anyway, so my husband built kind of an arbor for us to get married underneath out of branches from around the property. And I was going to hang up, you know, just family relics, odds and ends of, you know, loved ones that are deceased, just so I felt like I could have them close to the ceremony. And so I was going to hang up the necklaces and, you know, just other little trinkets like that. Well, anyway, I couldn't decide which of the two turquoise necklaces she would want me to use. I know that there was, you know, probably one that was a favorite to hers and I wanted to use that one, but I just couldn't figure out which one to use. So anyway, one morning I was laying in bed. And actually, let me back up. So I had these two turquoise necklaces in my bedroom hanging on I have built-in cabinets in the bedroom. There's a knob, and I just had these two necklaces hanging off that knob. So anyway, it's not first thing in the morning. It's probably about 7:38. And I'm just kind of laying there in that half awake, half asleep state. I'm starting to wake up, but I just don't want to commit to it yet. But anyway, in my head, I'm just thinking about the necklaces and which one my grandma would want me to use. And I'm not sure how much time goes by, but finally I open my eyes, I sit up in bed, and the first thing that I see is that one of the two turquoise necklaces is draped over. I had kind of like an old antique chair just sitting in front of them for no particular reason. We had just moved in and things were kind of scattered around a little bit, so this chair was just kind of sitting there. But anyway, one of the turquoise necklaces was actually placed over the back of this chair, and it was so funny because I looked at it and instantly I just went, oh, okay, Grandma, thank you, that answers my question. it was so cool because it was just perfectly placed over this chair, like, okay, honey, this is the one I want you to use. So I was pretty impressed, and I went down and told my husband about it, and he said gave him goosebumps. And anyway, it was just kind of a cool story. It made me feel good that she was still around and able to communicate with me. But hope you like the story, and thanks for letting me share. Bye.
I do like that story, and I think that was kind of her way of approving of you doing that.
Some are pretty direct, some are not very direct.
Yeah.
And that's about, I think, as direct as a ghost gets.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look into the necklace and you find out, oh, this was like, it's a sign of something completely different. And you realize this all those years later.
It's not. It's just the one she was supposed to wear.
It's all it was.
Yeah.
Just don't look into it any further, just in case.
Okay.
I like just planting the slight seed of, I'm kidding.
You take a good, little, simple, happy ghost story and you try to make it somehow scary.
It's what I do.
Okay.
It's what I do. Let's go to another caller. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony. I just found your show, and it's really been very interesting. I do have a story, and I think it's more of a visitation than I guess a ghost story. But my best friend for 40 years now, her mom passed like a month after I was married, which was like 18 years ago now. And so I had my first son, about 2 years afterwards. So this goes back about 15 years now. And he had a congenital heart defect, so he had to undergo open heart surgery, and he was just a baby at the time, and of course, as a mom, I was totally freaked out. And about a month after he was home, I remember when I was in the hospital, they had to put him on the heart-lung bypass, and they would come out and tell you, you know, when it started, and then when they got his heart beating again on its own. And I remember being so scared that, you know, he was being basically kept alive by a machine, and I just really I don't think I ever got over it. But anyway, about a month after we were home from the hospital, everything went well. My son was doing really well. I had the most vivid dream about my best friend's mom, and she had came and sat on my bed, and I could feel like the weight of her on my feet. And we were talking, and I said, you know, I'm so sorry that you never got a chance to meet my son. And she said, oh no, I met him. I held him while he was here. And I just thanked her for taking care of him, but I was crying, and I woke up with tears. I still have tears in my eyes when I think of it. And I know that she was there to tell me that she truly had taken care of him during that sort of, I don't know what you call it, like twilight, while he was sort of had one foot in our world and one in theirs. But anyway, that's my story. He actually went on to have two more surgeries. He's doing great now, and she has not come back to visit me since then, but each time he was at the hospital, it did give me a lot of comfort knowing I knew she was there taking care of him, and I was going to get him back, you know, healthy and happy. So that's my story. Thanks for your show. I love it. I've told a bunch of people, and good luck to you. Thanks.
That was sweet. I think that that does help to know that somebody on the other side's looking out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it makes it a ton easier, you know?
Well, sure.
To have your child go through that.
I can't imagine sitting there for those however many minutes it was, you know, yeah, on that time. I mean, that would just be so, so anxiety-producing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that. But having that little bit, you know, probably somebody knowing, you know, how difficult that would be to try and help.
Yeah.
Even with the supernatural, it's still, you know,
mm-hmm,
I don't know how you go through that. Thank you for the story and sharing that with us. Phone number is 855-853-4802 here at Real Ghost Stories Online. We'd love to hear your real ghost story. And of course, we'd love it even more if you would become an EPP and to check out all those bonus episodes, all 100 something of them. There's lots of them there. You get that. You get all the bonus of video content as well for only $5 a month. That's what keeps our show on the air. It's what funds this thing and allows us to continue doing Real Ghost Stories Online. So without your support, we couldn't do it. Check it out. Enjoy. A lot of work into those extra episodes, and we hope that you thoroughly enjoy them. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com, where you sign up to be an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.